And 7 o'clock on a Monday evening, that means it's time for the Opera Box. Well, good evening, everyone. Welcome to KGNU's The Opera Box. I'm your host, Ron Nadel, and tonight my playlist brings you a kind of operatic sing-off, comparing different singers in the same arias and ensembles. But instead of just playing one singer's version, followed by another singer's version, I've stitched them together as a single track, giving us the ability to compare them side by side, sometimes on the same note. And we're going to compare many superstar singers with special clips like this of Verdi's La Donna e Mobile with Neil Shaikoff that we first heard, and now Alfredo Kraus. The program will be better if you've got headphones to hear all the comparisons. Pull up a chair for a ringside seat in tonight's Opera Box sing-off. La Donna e Mobile. Women are fickle, so says the rapacious Duke from Verdi's Rigoletto. And in that performance, we actually heard two recordings stitched together. We first heard Neil Shaikoff with Giuseppe Sinopoli conducting the orchestra of the Academy of St. Cecilia. And then we heard Alfredo Kraus with Georg Scholti conducting the RCA Italian Opera Orchestra. It's 3 minutes after 7 o'clock. You're listening to The Opera Box on KGNU. I'm your host, Ron Nadel, with a playlist of opera sing-offs. Thanks to digital software, I've stitched different singers together in the same aria or ensemble, letting us compare them side by side. We're going to hear a lot of great singers during tonight's program, like the great Franco Corelli and Luciano Pavarotti, in Puccini's very most famous aria, Nessun Dorma, from Turandot. Franco Corelli was the darling of the international opera stage in the 50s and the 60s. Pavarotti was a superstar in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. Pavarotti was a light tenor with easy high Cs, but he didn't have that deep dramatic heft. Corelli was a spinto tenor, heavier and more dramatic. He had a high C in his range too, but didn't come as easily for him with his slightly lower spinto tenor. Corelli was dramatic, but later he was criticized for kind of crooning. Pavarotti was a better actor, but he was criticized for always having this sort of an edge in his voice that sounded like tension. Well, here they are together in the famous aria Nessun Dorma from Act 3 of Turandot. The icy princess and her guards are scouring the city of Peking to discover the name of the unknown prince whom Turandot must marry otherwise. Here in this aria, the prince Khalaf muses to himself that no one will sleep this night. Nessun dorma, no one sleeps, from Puccini's Turandot. And we heard Franco Corelli from the beginning with Francesco Molinari Pradelli conducting the Rome Opera Orchestra. And you also heard stitched in there Luciano Pavarotti with Zubin Mehta conducting the London Philharmonic. I want to say thanks to Rick for giving a call and for his support as a listener member, too. Appreciate the comments, Rick. Thanks for calling. It's 8.5 minutes after 7 o'clock. You're listening to The Opera Box on KGNU. I'm your host, Ron Nadell, with a playlist of operatic sing-offs, pitting one set of singers against another. Now, Franco Corelli was often paired with the superstar soprano Birgit Nilsson, nicknamed La Nilsson. And Pavarotti often sang opposite the great Joan Sutherland. La Stupenda was her nickname. Well, Nilsson sang Turandot hundreds of times on the stage and television and in several recordings. Joan Sutherland never sang Turandot on the stage, but she made one great recording. Nilsson had a dramatic voice like steel. Her Turandot is aloof and icy. Sutherland's voice was rounder, more versatile. Her Turandot was more human. We're going to hear them in the great Act II aria, In Questa Reggia. This is where Turandot explains to the unknown prince why she hates men. 1,000 years ago, her ancestor, Princess Liu Ling, was abducted, raped, and murdered. And Turandot is taking revenge on all men who seek to subjugate the princess. On behalf of Liu Ling, in Questa Regia, with Birgit Nilsson and Joan Sutherland.
Thank you.
Turandot explaining her hatred of men and warning the unknown prince against his trying to win her hand in marriage. In Questa Regia, from Act Two of Puccini's Turandot. And we heard two recordings stitched together with Birgit Nilsson, soprano, and Molinari Pradelli conducting the Rome Opera Orchestra, and Joan Sutherland with Zubin Mehta conducting the London Symphony Orchestra. It's about, we're coming up on 17 minutes after 7 o'clock here on the Opera Box at KGNU, and I'm your host, Ron Adell, with my program of operatic sing-off, pitting one singer against another in the same aria and later on ensembles. Now, this next one pits the great Swedish tenor Nikolaj Gaeta against himself. The tenor Nikolaj Gaeta was known for his great versatility and longevity. He sang everything from Mozart to bel canto to French, Italian, and German romanticism and expressionism. And one of his great roles was that of Faust in Berlioz's adaptation of Goethe's great romantic masterpiece of literature. We're going to hear Nikolaj Gaeta in Faust's Invocation of Nature from two different recordings made a decade apart, with Nikolaj Gaeta singing in both recordings. Listen closely. You're going to hear the difference in the maturity of his voice in the later recording. We're going to start with the later recording, and then about halfway through, about 2 minutes in, you'll hear it subtly switch over to a younger Nikolaj Gaeta. Now, in this aria, Faust is summoning the power of nature in a storm to match his violent mood. From Faust, The Damnation of Faust by Hector Berlioz.
What up?
Faust's Invocation of Nature from Berlioz's The Damnation of Faust. And we heard Nikolai Gaeta with Colin Davis conducting the London Symphony first. And a couple minutes in there, it switched over to Nikolai Gaeta with Georges Prêtre conducting the Orchestra of Paris. 23 minutes after 7 o'clock, you're listening to The Opera Box on KGNU. I'm your host, Ron Nadell, with my Opera Box sing-off. Be sure to stick around after The Opera Box for a Classic Monday and the next installment in my series, Tracing the Evolution of the Symphony. Tonight, Mahler Part 2. That's going to be at 8 p.m. right here on KGNU. Well, in those two different recordings of Berlioz's Faust, Nikolai Gaeta was paired with two different sopranos, the great Janet Baker and Josephine Vesey, two British mezzo-sopranos. Baker sang in the 1960s recording. That's the one conducted by Georges Prêtre. And Josephine Vesey was in the later recording of the 70s with Colin Davis conducting. We're going to hear them singing Margarita's sad aria, "The Ardent Flame of Love Has Burned My Youth Away." Baker was already a superstar when she made this recording, and Josephine Vesey was becoming one. Margarita bemoans her situation. She's pregnant by Faust, and he's abandoned her. We're going to begin with Janet Baker. I think you'll notice that Janet Baker has slightly more of head voice than Josephine Vesey, but you be the judge as it switches back and forth between those two different recordings from The Damnation of Faust. The ardent flame of love has burned my youth away. Margarita lamenting her tragic circumstances. And we heard the great Janet Baker for the first half, and then it seamlessly switched over to Josephine Vizzi in the second half. I think you can hear Janet Baker's voice is a little more focused. Well, we're going to hear Tosca's. This next sample is going to compare three singers from Puccini's Tosca. And we're going to hear the Act II aria, Vissi d'Arte. We're going to compare Birgit Nilsson from the 60s with Montserrat Caballé from the 70s and Angela Georgiou from the 90s. It'll begin with Birgit Nilsson, then Angela Georgiou, and it'll finish with Montserrat Caballé. And in this aria, Tosca, who's forced to give in to the lust of the evil Scarpia, prays to God, saying that she lives solely for art and love, and asks, why is she treated so badly? Vissi d'Arte from Act Two of Puccini's Tosca. We just heard there Montserrat Caballé. You can tell by those delicate, soft notes. Before that, for about a minute, there was Angela Georgiou, and that began with Birgit Nilsson with a very hard, steely voice. We're now going to compare the tenors from those same three recordings. In the aria from Act Three, E lucevan la stella, and the stars were shining. Mario, Tosca's lover, is to be executed at dawn by the evil Scarpia, and while he's sitting there at prison at night, he thinks back to when he first saw Tosca and they fell in love. We're going to compare Roberto Alagna, who sang opposite Angela Georgiou. In fact, they were both married at the time of that recording. And then we'll compare them with Franco Corelli, who sang opposite Birgit Nilsson. And we'll finish with Jose Carreras, who sang opposite Montserrat Caballé. E Luce van la Stella from Tosca. E Luce van la Stella, and the stars were shining. The aria from Act 3 of Puccini's Tosca, that was Jose Carreras just there, and then before him we heard Franco Corelli cutting in after Roberto Alagna. Three tenors clipped together in the same aria. It's about 18 minutes before 8 o'clock. You're listening to the Opera Box on KGNU. I'm your host, Ron Nadel, with my program of operatic sing-offs, clipping one set of singers in the same aria with another set of singers. Now, this next clip is going to compare three couples in the great Act 1 love duet from Tosca. This is where Mario is in the church painting a picture of the Madonna when Tosca comes in. She becomes jealous of the woman in the painting. He tries to assuage her jealousy, telling her that he loves only her so that he can get back to work. Well, the clip is going to begin with Franco Corelli and Birgit Nilsson. That'll be followed by Roberto Alagna and Angela Giorgio. And it'll conclude with Jose Carreras and Montserrat Caballé. If you've got headphones, it'll be easier for you to tell when which couple is singing. The great love duet from Act One of Tosca.
Thank you. Or lasciami al lavoro,
mi dissocci,
dolce l'opera, lo sai. Ce n'è tanti per il mondo.
Aspetta, aspetta. E l'ottava.
Lava.
La vedi, Tama, Tolomi, Tolomi.
Puro caso.
Quei passi, e quel bisbiglio.
Thank you.
Oh, the great love duet from Act One of Tosca, featuring three different couples. That was we just heard José Carreras and Montserrat Caballé. Before that, we heard Roberto Alagna and Angela Giorgio, and it began with Franco Corelli and Birgit Nilsson. Now, I'm going to conclude tonight's opera sing-off where we began with Rigoletto, but this is going to be the most challenging. It's the Act Two Quartet, Bella Figlia dell'Amore, with two different sets of casts. We're going to hear Neil Shaikoff as the Duke and Renata Brusson as Rigoletto and Edita Gruberova as his daughter Gilda and mezzo-soprano Brigitte Fassbender as Maddalena, who works in the tavern with Giuseppe Sinopoli conducting. We're also going to hear Alfredo Kraus as the Duke, Robert Merrill as Rigoletto, Anna Moffo as Gilda, and Rosalind Elias as Maddalena with Schulte conducting. And so, two different recordings of this great quartet, the quartet from Act Two of Rigoletto.
Schiavo son dei vezzi tuoi, con un detto, assai t'avrai. Le mie pene consolar. Vieni e senti del mio cuore frequente palpitar. Con un detto, sol t'amai. Le mie pene consolar.
Ma vedo per te cuore che palpare costa poco.
Thank you.
Bella Figlia dell'Amore. The quartet from Act Two of Rigoletto by Giuseppe Verdi. Well, this is your host, Ron Nadel. I want to thank you for joining me for tonight's The Opera Box and our opera sing-off. I hope you enjoyed and were able to hear the differences in the different soloists and ensembles. Right now, stay tuned for A Classic Monday. You're listening to KGNU, Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins. And welcome, everyone, to A Classic Monday. I'm still your host, Ron Nadel, with the 13th in my series on the symphony, tracing the evolution of the symphony from its roots in the Baroque concerti of the 1600s to today. Tonight's installment will be the second of three programs on the symphonies of Gustav Mahler, where Beethoven's innovations brought the romantic period of the Western music into the world. Mahler's powerfully expressive use of symphonic methods fulfilled the realization of the potentials of Romanticism. His symphonies are thus the bookend to Beethoven and pushed Romanticism as far as it could go, leaving it at the borders of modernism. We'll hear how he did so through his songs and his Fifth Symphony if you join me for A Classic Monday tonight. Last month, we heard how Mahler used his Second Symphony as an expression of emotions, the progression of emotions in response to mortality laid out in symphonic form. We also saw how he used melodies from his own songs to bring the meaning of those songs into the symphony without using words. And we heard how he used words and voices at the end of that symphony to communicate concrete thoughts. Well, tonight, with his Fifth Symphony, we're going to get an example of his mature, abstract methods, meaning a symphony that communicates emotions